Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. There's a way to overcome. Just because you don't see it or don't know it doesn't mean there's not a way. It just means there's something you don't see, don't understand. And if we inquire of the Lord and believe that He knows and believe in His caring about us to help us and His faithfulness to us, He'll see to it that we find that. We see the way out. We see the way over. So, Father, we do. We ask for it for everybody involved with us today, everybody watching, everybody listening. We ask for just what's needed right now in our lives to overcome, to triumph over, to make it through, out of lack, out of sickness, weakness, out of confusion, darkness, out of trouble, out of oppression, out of attack, whatever it might be, out of it, completely free, into liberty and freedom in Jesus' name. And we know it's your will. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We've been for a number of weeks talking about faith for provision. And there are a couple of areas that you need to feed your faith on ongoing throughout your life. It doesn't have to be every day per se, but you don't need to go too many months without feeding your faith on things concerning healing and feeding your faith on things concerning provision, right? Because that's every day of your life. You need healing, right? Health, strength. And in this world, with all the problems and all the curse and all the stuff that's going on, it won't be long before either you or somebody you know or a friend or family needs some healing,
yes,
or some provision,
yes,
right?
Right?
And so you don't want to wait until you need faith to try to rush and get some. If you're smart, and that's one of the reasons why the Lord wants us going to church.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And yet you got all kind of Christians that do that. They don't go to church, and people are either, you know, even, you know, a little snippy about it. And they go, well, you know, I worship God in the woods, you know, at home. And that's where I feel close to God. Well, nobody said you couldn't be close to God at home. But He said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So no, people say, well, I can be just as good a Christian as you and anybody and not go to church. You can't ignore what God said and be as good a Christian as anybody. No, and that's you being your own Lord instead of Him being your Lord. There are reasons why we need to come together and fellowship as believers. And God gave the gifts, the ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the perfecting of the saints. And so there are things you will not get by yourself, you and your Bible in prayer. God has ordained that you get them through these ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, not because they're smarter than you per se, it's because of the call and because of the anointing. And the Lord has ordained that some things you're only going to get that way as you submit yourself to leadership and as you fellowship with other believers. So important that we do this.
Yes.
And so if you do, if you're coming to church on a regular basis and involved, you know, helping and being a part, you're getting an input into your spirit on a regular basis.
Yes.
Weekly or multiple times a week. Well, see, that's keeping you built up And if your leaders are praying and seeking God, well, then the Spirit of God's directing them what area you need to be boosted on right now. And then that's why, you know, for instance, pastors, they shouldn't speak on the same subject all the time because, you know, the Lord's going to direct. And you know, you don't have to just pick and choose. All the ministry gifts are gifts to you and available to you, right? But what you'll see is you'll have people that they're believers, but don't go to church, don't go to good meetings, and don't feed regularly. And what they're not realizing is over a period of weeks and months and years, they have gotten totally weak. Their spirit is just hadn't been fed decently in months maybe and weak. And you don't really know that until something happens. And then if there's some kind of issue, some kind of challenge, and you go to try to believe God and you realize how weak you are. Everything just seems hopeless. And then sometimes people will run to church then, and maybe they even want counseling or something with pastors and leadership. And what they're trying to do now is give me in an hour counseling session what I should have been getting every week at church for the past 5 years. Huh? That you can't exactly do that. Now, the Lord is merciful.
Yes.
I said He's merciful. And if you'll fall on His mercy and cry out for help, just like Peter when he was sinking, going down in the water, Lord, help me. Well, the Lord grabbed his hand. Hallelujah. And He'll do that for you too. But you'll know you've been through something. You'll know you've been through a rough time. And if you had done it the Lord's way and been hooked with what He had wanted you to be joined to and been getting fed and built up week after week after week, it's possible you could have avoided the whole thing. It could have been stopped before it began. Or even if it was something you had to deal with, you know, if you're going down the road in your car and here's a big hill coming up, you know, if the car is tuned well and running 100% and you're already doing 85, then you just downshift and kick her down and you go over the hill. You might have slowed down 10 mile an hour, 15, but it wasn't no big deal.
That's right?
You go right over the hill. But if you're missing two cylinders are missing and your fuel injection system is gummed up, and your clutch is slipping, and you were only doing 30, chugging, and 30 when you got to the hill. Oh, man, this is going to be a problem, right? And so you're starting up the hill. You downshifted the second. You got it on the floor. It's chugging. It's jerking. You're down to 15 miles an hour. At one point, it seemed like you were going to roll back down the hill. And if, by the grace and mercy of God, you get over the hill. Well, then when you get over the hill and you stop at the filling station, you're going, oh, what a hill. It was so awful. And the other guy that was ahead of you, he went, that hill back there? It wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, right, yeah, I lost 15 miles, slowed down from 85 to 70, but it makes the difference what condition you're in. Huh? When it starts. When it begins. And so many people are behind. They are just way, way behind. Hadn't been fed. Hadn't been communing with God. Just weak and not in good shape. And that, you know, do you hear how we start off faith class? Huh? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing it? Get that spirit fed.
Amen.
Right? Fed. Built up. So that my faith is fed, and if I'm using my faith, it's going to be getting stronger. And if I'm feeding it and using it on a regular basis, then if something bigger happens that I need it, I'm not having to run, try to get ready. I've been growing steadily for the last 5 years. Come on, can you see this? Every time I've been going to church and going to the meetings and doing where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, I got something from that one. How many know you should get something? Every message, every service, you should get something and multiple things. And those things stay with you. And it could be 5 years later that something comes up and you go, oh man, what do I do? And all at once, this comes up to you. You go, where did I get that? Well, you got it in church, you know, 5 years ago. You got it in that meeting. You got, and it was there, and God had you ready.
Yes.
I said, He had you ready.
Yes.
God is never behind.
No.
Never behind. And if we find out that we're behind, it's because we hadn't been keeping up with Him, listening to Him. So that's why we do these things, and that's why it's so vital. Did you hear the scripture? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, if you ignore that and you think you know better, eventually it'll cost you, because you need that fellowship. You need faith buddies. Everybody needs faith buddies, right? Because what happens is throughout life, people that God has joined you to, there are times when your faith is stronger and theirs might not be as strong. And sometimes it's the opposite. Yours is not as strong. Theirs is stronger. But, you know, and maybe, you know, you're not celebrating, but they're celebrating something. And then if they're not celebrating a victory, well, maybe you are. But if we got enough people, we can have a party all the time.
Yes.
Somebody's party,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then for too long, it'll be our party,
yes.
Right? Celebrating. But you need faith friends that the world speaks doubt and unbelief and weakness. But faith friends will talk faith to you.
Yes.
And they understand even code talk.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to tell people, say, you know, tell me again how healed I am.
That's right.
Huh? And a faith friend, they'll pick up on that and go, healed? Woo, you're so healed? The healed people call you healed. Huh? He took your infirmities. He bore your sicknesses. Is that right? He carried your pains. By His stripes, you are healed. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If somebody says that to you in faith and in love, it can be quickening.
Yes.
It can be strengthening. And then maybe another few months or another year or two, they're the ones that needs the input. And you're able to speak into them. And are the maybe they just look at you and go, you know, tell me again, remind me again how God meets all my needs. And you know what's going on. So you light into it and start speaking the word over them. And the Bible said, you know, that two are stronger, right, than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Which means you got to get up and leave the house and go to church and make friends and get on teams and serve and be a part. This is God's plan. Don't ignore this. Don't reject this. If you do, it'll be at your own expense at some place down the road. And if you think, well, I don't need anybody, you do more than you know. But it's not just about that. You could be a help to them, right? You could be a help and a strength to somebody else. So go ahead, pray it out loud. Say, Lord, show me
what
I'm supposed to be a part of.
Where I'm supposed to go to church.
Where I'm supposed to serve.
What ministries
I'm supposed to be a partner with and a part of. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Reveal it to me.
Confirm it to me.
Enable me to do it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And He will. He will. Go with me to Exodus again today, if you would. We've been talking about faith for provision, and in our study of 30 reasons why we're sure of this, we're down to reason number 19, and that is the tabernacle. And there are, you know, just scores of chapters if you include the Exodus and other places, and then the writings of the prophets and New Testament scriptures, there are scores of chapters on the tabernacle. Why so much information? Why so much? Why is it so important? Well, it is. It was a physical representation on earth of what exists in heaven. And it, the things that were going on there portrayed redemption that was fulfilled in Christ. And the Bible talks about today that we are the temple of God.
Amen.
And so you learn a lot about yourself and what's supposed to be happening. And the Bible tells us that we are priests, and we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. And this was all portrayed in the tabernacle and then in the temple. If you look in the 35th chapter, verse 5 says, "Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram's skin dyed red, badger skin." Like we had said, that is actually a marine animal, which was waterproof. "And shittim wood," which is acacia wood, "oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate." These were precious stones, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. So what's God asking for? The best of the best. Right? You know, they could have saved a lot of money building this tabernacle by just going with regular materials. Huh? I mean, pine, canvas, sandstone, you make a decent tent. They could have saved a lot of money instead of going with gold. Everything's gold. And if you read the instructions, he gives them to the detail. The length, the width, the depth. Acacia wood was to be used, and that's top-of-the-line wood, hard density, pest-resistant, moisture-resistant, and it was to be to certain specifications, and then it was to be completely plated in gold. Every board, every pole, all of it, completely, all the boards of this, what, 150 foot long by 75 wide, whatever it was, structure, all the boards completely covered in gold. Every rod, every plank, every piece. The ark itself was made out of the acacia wood and then completely plated in gold. And the cherubims that overshadowed the mercy seat, completely out of gold. Completely out of gold. The candlestick was made out of from anywhere to 75 to 100 pounds. Pure gold. It wasn't overlaid anything. It was pure gold. And all of the snuffers and the utensils they used with the lighting, all the containers, all the bowls, all the spoons, gold, 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 pure gold. And that's what God said He wanted. Now, to hear some people talk today, that doesn't sound like the same God. Huh? Because you'll hear people try to tell you, well, no, you know, as I got closer to God, I realized that I should live a more Spartan life. I should live a minimalist life, you know. And so I've got it down to one metal plate and one fork. Huh? One metal. No need being gaudy. No need being flashy. Well, Did they get that from God?
No, sir.
Because if they did, he has really changed.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right?
From here. Can you see why I'm saying this is a reason number 19?
Yes.
Why we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Because when he said, I want a tabernacle, and he said, bring me offerings. And they said, he told them what to bring. You bring the best precious metals that exist. Pure gold, pure silver, the brass, the bronze, and you bring the best jewels. The onyx, the diamonds, the rubies, the emeralds, the sapphires. And I mean, we're talking rocks. And you bring the best fabrics, the finest linens, and the finest fabrics. And so they made all the articles of the temple out of these things. And they made all the furniture. The tables were acacia wood covered in gold. All of them. The only thing that wasn't gold was the offering for burnt sacrifice, and that's because of the heat. So they went with what, brass or bronze, whatever it was, for the heat. But everything else, gold. There were some articles of the tent, that fasteners that they used were silver. But the Lord, of course, knew which metal was the best for which function. And all of the boards, the poles of the tent, if you will, they all had stands that were anywhere from 80 to 100 pound stand of solid silver. And that was for every pole of all of the tabernacle. So just the precious metals were millions in today's currency. And we're going to give you more precise figures as we go. But, you know, couldn't God have diverted that to feed people instead? Y'all are quiet. Huh? Isn't this extravagant? And a lot of people would say, that's just too much. That is just too much. You know, we have church buildings in our churches. And what if we started covering the walls with gold?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Just, do you think we'd make the news? Do you think we'd make the news? I mean, the price of gold is way up there right now. I mean, per ounce, it's like thousands of dollars, you know. And so, if we said, yeah, you know, we're having a project, everybody bring your stuff. What are we doing? Well, we're going to cover the platform in gold, the whole thing, all the steps, and the podium. The podium we preach from, we're going to cover it in gold, and we're going to put a row of diamonds across it. And then we're going to put some rubies down the side and some sapphires around. Now, why am I saying that? Would people be aghast? Would there be people who say, that just makes me sick. That makes me sick. Well, then this would make you sick. This would make you sick. And what are you going to do when you get to heaven?
Right?
We read about that, last week in Revelation? That the streets are made out of gold. Not paved with gold. They are gold. And the whole city is gold. And the foundations of the walls are precious stones. It has to be tons and tons and tons and tons of them. Whole layers of emeralds and sapphires and diamonds. Now people, you know, people get upset about this. And they go, well, no, that could be used for the poor. And that is a despicable statement.
That's right.
Say, what? Yeah, you heard me. That is a direct quote of Judas Iscariot, who did not care about the poor.
That's right.
He said it, but he didn't really care about the poor.
That's right.
He was a thief.
Yes, he was.
He loved money. And he couldn't stand it that all that money was going into the bag. Excuse me, it wasn't going into the bag where he could steal it, but that it had just been dumped on Jesus' feet. And see, that's the problem when people get so upset about today. They're giving themselves away. They love money. They care too much about money. If they didn't, they wouldn't care what we did with us. Come on, can you see that? They wouldn't care what, if they didn't care about money, they wouldn't care what we did. But if you get upset about somebody else's money, then you're thinking too much about their stuff. And that's the 10th commandment, that you are not to desire and you are not to covet what belongs to somebody else. It's none of your business. But we're not talking just about that. We're talking about what kind of God is He? Is God real?
Oh, yes.
What does He like?
Nice.
He obviously likes gold.
Yes.
He likes gold.
Yes.
He likes a lot of it.
Yes.
He likes jewels, big ones,
yes.
Diamonds, gold, yes. Silver, the finest of the fine. The well, who made gold? Who made it? Who made it? So you get all bent out of shape about gold. You need to remember who made it. Who made precious metals? Who made fine things? Who made all these precious jewels? And God said, that's what I want. I want that for my... And this is for a portable tent. This is not the permanent temple structure. This is a portable tent. But who says just because it's temporary, it can't be nice? It can be nice. And if it represents the Lord... It should be the best of the best, the best we can do at the time, and then believe to do better in the future. Can you say amen,
amen.
Class?
Amen.
Somebody say only the best,
only the best.
For our God.
For our God.
Hallelujah. 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 And our time's up again. Say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. And our mind is being renewed and getting delivered from religious junk and ideas of men so that we agree with God and like what He likes. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.